Not having any
meetings in the
office that turns out today. They said they would be accessible to help for any discussion. Longer Desmond, good to see you.
Aloha, aloha,
kakahia. Sorry for that echoing. I'm not too sure what that is. But aloha, folks. So we did hear at one of our previous Attorney General's office, assist us with this, with understanding our members of the council.
I think it's going off of his.
What? Sorry,
Lama. It's going off of his. There we go.
How are we doing now? Better? Yeah, a lot better. Okay, Mike. So sorry, Lama. What was that again?
No, I was just saying that echo is going from yours to Uncle Desmond. So if his is muted, then it won't echo.
Okay, perfect, perfect.
Yeah.
The echoing started when Uncle showed up. Awesome. Like how you know. Perfect. Perfect. But of course, that is one of the big concerns across the board, again, from all our councils, as we've been meeting quite regularly. Not in capacity as representing the borough council, but as citizens of the nation of Hawaii, yeah, meeting to talk about these things. And that is a concern across the board, not really truly understanding all the roles and responsibilities that we have. And actually knowing the roles and responsibilities that we do have and that we can take care of, which is quite interesting. And I noticed Hinano's not on this call as well, Kia, either?
Yeah, Hinano didn't come on today, but he did want me to ask you guys. I think the AGs are ready to do a formal training next month. So he wanted to know if you guys want to have it during your regular meeting or if you wanted to have a separate meeting for it. Off the top of my head, I do think there's going to be several items on the agenda next month. So it's, next month's agenda, next month's meeting might be a little longer because there will be several items for determination on the agenda. Okay. So if you guys want it on a different day, that's fine too. I think he said he anticipates the training to take about 4 hours. I'm not sure if it'll be that long or maybe even longer, but if that's something you guys want to talk about, and I mean, you don't have to tell me today. You guys can even email me, if another day works sometime next month.
Okay. Well, mahalo. That's good news to hear. I'm glad it's moving forward. It's not stagnant someplace. So thank you for that. Mahalo. Any input, folks, regarding that? You said July. They're looking at right now? July?
June.
Yeah, perfect. Oh, better yet.
Yeah.
So, yes, Clifford.
On this training, if it's 4 hours in total, that should be broken up over a multitude of different days. And whatever that curriculum is going to speak to, and SHPTE should provide the hard copy of text or whatever so that we can follow. And just even having that notion to tie us into one session, it's really unprofessional. And so if we are looking for a professional outcome, it behooves us to act professionally. So education and training is vitally important so that we're all on the same page and we understand what we're speaking to in the same language. So that should have a higher priority even when it comes to these meetings. And I get it, we're all casual, pretty much ohana kickback, but we have to be able to conduct ourselves professionally. And this is where I look to the state, and the state is going to take this lead. They damn well better be professional. If not, then they need to step aside and let a Nakanaka organization take responsibility for our own ED. So I hope this is a matter of record. Let's go back to whomever needs to hear this, Ige or whomever. They need to get their shit together. Training and application is serious. So that's all I have to say.
Solid, Clifford. And I would definitely kakou that as well. Mahalo for that. Any other Ike, Manao?
Yeah, let me comment on that.
Scott, going.
I mean, I know we're all busy because I'm busy, you know. So having a one day event is best for me, and I think we can it'll keep the thing moving along instead of like breaking it up. So anyway, for me, 4 hours in one day is a long time, but I don't think I can break it up into 4 1-hour days. That's all I wanted to say.
Mahalo. Kalena?
Yeah, I'm going to suggest that we don't combine our burial council meeting with the training so that we can focus on what our agenda is for the meeting and then focus for the training separately. And I would prefer definitely they be separated, but I'm really super busy too. And I respect Cliff's, you know, wanting for 1 hour trainings, but for me, it's better if I can just knock out the 4 hours all at once. Thanks.
Mahalo, Kalena. Anybody? Uncle Norman?
I would prefer, a different date, but the 4 hour session, you know, not the same day as our regular meeting. So we can have our meeting, get it done, and then not have this training interfere. So if we can have it separate, you know, I'm for that.
Now, Uncle Norman, Uncle Viola.
I prefer a separate day from our regular meeting day, and I prefer it 1 4-hour class.
Yeah. Anybody else? Uncle Desmond? Yeah, Ike Manao.
They should have thought this out, knowing very well that we're busy, we're volunteering, they're getting paid. They should have figured this out. They should have had a schedule ready to go if they're going to announce for Thursday or for June. Then they should have presented an agenda, split it up into 4 days or 2 days. But for us to be discussing at this level is ridiculous. They don't want to get it paid. We're just volunteering our time. They should have something in place. That's it.
Mahalo nui. La, any feedback or anything at this point in time?
I would say definitely not on the normal meeting agenda, but it would be good to have some dates for us to go off of, to just instead of us trying to come up with dates. I think maybe knowing when they're available and then saying if we're able to attend at that time. Just so that it's a little bit more streamlined on our end. We're not kind of trying to make something work between all of us without knowing what works for whomever's going to be conducting the orientation, I guess, if you want to call it that, or session.
Well, everybody, very valid, EK Manal. Thank you very much for that. Whichever one is true, I definitely believe that, yes, we should not have it at the same time as our regular meeting. Whatever is going to be broken up, whatever, you know, got to go, whatever, go. Of course, for me, I'm very selfish because after next week, I'm off for 8 weeks. So as a teacher, so my June and July is wide open right now. So that's the real reason why. But I would like some, again, the information they plan on sharing with us ahead of time, please. Yeah, it'd be nice to look at that ahead of time prior to the actual meetings. And dates would be nice to have so we can go off of those. So thank you, everybody. Mahalo.
I was wondering, asking Kea a question. Is that thing going to be recorded in case guys cannot stay for the 4 hours or can I make that date?
Will
they have access to listening in?
Yeah, it'll still be considered a public meeting. So it'll have to be agendized. It'll be posted on our website. And the audio recording will be posted on our website as well. So if you want to go back and listen, you can. I know a lot of you guys are talking about like 4 hours or, you know, I don't think it's not an actual time. I think that's just what he's estimating. And, I know some of you want multiple days. And so I think, if there's additional training that is not covered in this initial training, I think you can definitely let the AGs know, we want more training on this, and we can always see if they can prepare a second presentation on what wasn't covered in the original one. Also, in terms of picking a meeting date, you know, I can go ahead and pick a date and see if everybody's okay with it. But I just thought I would ask you guys first, because I don't know what days you guys are normally available. I know some of you work, if you guys give me at least a day I can try and look for a date that looks works for everybody. So, you know, I mean, do Thursdays work best?
Norman?
Since everybody is busy, one other consideration is to, you know, cancel that meeting, our monthly meeting, and have this training session take place at that time. And then, you know, we can go back to our regular agenda on the following month or something like that, because what I'm hearing is everybody busy, you know. Me, I retired, so no matter.
That's possible too.
If it's far enough out for people to plan, for me at least, if we're planning it far enough out, you know, a couple weeks in advance, I can be available whenever I need to be available. I can make time. I just need to know with enough warning to have that space open.
Clifford?
Yeah, since this is an educational issue, why isn't Shifty default to the University of Hawaii? Give them the course outline and let an academic tell them about approximately how many hours they're going to need to convey this. So for you Harvard guys that can get a four-hour session at one day and retain all of it, congratulations. But typically, if there's any substance to this course, and they're predicting somewhere near 4 hours, that's a lengthy class. That's a lot to retain. And that's on the assumption that we have the written, printed information to follow the course outline. So we're trying to talk about a course that we know nothing about, what their topic is or that, and that in itself is crazy. So again, stressing the thing of professionalism, let's get our shit together and understand what we're talking about. So we're not just jumping off on, like fandango. So if Shifty can tell us what it is that this course training is about, determine within our own schedule whether or not we want to make an investment. And then if we do, what that is going to look like based upon an opinion from the university. And not to take advantage of these resources, to me, it's just really immature.
Mahalo, Cliff. Thank you. Anything else, folks, with regards to this agenda item? Uncle Viola? Yeah.
I think if we kept it, I don't think we should do it in place of the HIBC regular meeting. It should be a separate meeting. But I think, well, that's my opinion. The other thing is, I would prefer it just stay on the Thursday, not necessarily the third Thursday, but eighth Thursday, because that's the day I left open for a lot of things. For me, that's all I have to say.
Mahalo. Uncle Desmond?
You know, this is all a moot point. We've been hearing about these for a couple months already. And they don't have anything set in stone at this point. I mean, Cliff brought up really good points. This is a moot point. Until they come up with something solid that we can follow, present hard copies of this curriculum, if there is such a thing, if there's such an animal. But to be discussing this, trying to figure out dates and stuff like that, this is a moot point because there's nothing set on Shifty's side. And no disrespect to Kale, but we've been talking about this for a couple of meetings already. And they still haven't figured it out. So I think we move on to the next item on the agenda.
Is there some sort of packet like that we'll be looking at and referring to while we're in the... And then maybe if that's like, what are we just, when we meet to do this, are we just discussing or is there a reference, material for us to be looking at during that time, Kia?
You know, I'm not sure exactly what the AGs are going to do their training on. So it's not SHPD providing the training. It'll be the Attorney General's office. I'm assuming they're just going to cover the rules. And so I think for the most part, if they have a presentation, I can definitely ask them to forward me the presentation so I can print it out and send it to you guys. But I think for the most part, the biggest reference is going to be HAR 13300.
Would it be helpful? I mean, we can all access that online, but if it's helpful, I can just email that out to everybody so that we can all look at it ahead of time. Everybody feels like they're ma'a with that and prepared. And then if we set a date now.
Yeah, I think everybody here has gotten binders in the past that have HRS 6E and HR 13300. I'll print a copy for you and I'll send one to you
I have. I'm good.
Oh, you have. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, and then I know the one online is kind of condensed, but I have another one that separates each, you know, rule onto its own page so that it's easier to follow, you know, page number wise and looking for specific rules. But yeah, I do think they're mostly going to be covering HAR 13300, which are the administrative rules that govern the burial council.
Mahalo, Kia. Mahalo, la. Mahalo, Kia. Mahalo, everybody. One other thing, Kev, would be neat is as they're going through these administrative rules and all, if they have examples of processes that worked or didn't work, yeah, so we can say, especially if they come from this island. Yeah, I think that'd be a good thing to know. Also would help everybody with the history of the island, what's going on, what's taking place. That usually helps a lot of learners, yeah, in orientation that I've been part of a lot, many times. Anyway, examples would be a big help. Mahalo. Mahalo. Okay. Anything else, folks, with regards to this business item? Okay, then we're gonna move into inadvertent communications. So we have an update on the borough site number 50-10-07-31235, Waipioahupua'a, Hamakua District, Island of Hawaii, TMK colon, open parentheses 3, close parentheses 4-9-003, colon 00.5. Notification discussion on the above inadvertent discovery. Okay. Can I presume that's why Tracy's with us? Tracy? You're on. Hello?
Morning. Yeah. Sorry, I was trying to unmute and it wouldn't unmute.
No problem. Aloha, Tracy.
Good morning. Aloha, everyone. Thank you for having me on today and giving us your time. As I said before, I'm the state parks archaeologist. And then also I do very small side jobs on the side for just to make some extra money to help pay the truck payment. And that's my subcontracting business. Just to give you guys an update, previously about a year ago, I came to Burial Council and I presented that we had two inadvertent finds on the western end of Waipio Valley on the beach, and that both Iwi Kupuna are eroding out of a large soil embankment. Which appears to be a landslide. And we have two sets of two adult individuals that appear to have been caught up in the landslide and through erosion from high surf and from winter storms, that soil embankment has become exposed and eroded. And Iwi Kupuna has been exposed to us. Previously, when I came to Burial Council, we presented two alternatives, which was option A, which was to cover over Iwi Kupuna with a rock wall slash ramp to help dissipate the wave energy that would comes to that area in the winter months. And then we also discussed option B, which was to excavate what we could excavate safely and do a reinterment malkash within the approved archaeological preserve for the property. And it's also within an existing site 29989, and it's the terrace, the house terrace, which I believe these Iwi Kupuna are probably related to or from. So I went to OCCL, Sam Lemel, and this is kind of off the record. Sam Lemel does not allow for any building of any seawalls or stone walls along private residences for erosion. And he said that OCCL is trying to address those issues because it's impacting the whole state, and they're trying to figure out what to do and how to deal with that. But right now they're not approving anyone to build such a thing. However, through explaining to him the situation of protecting Ivikupuna, and also through your comments from Barrel Council, off the record, he gave me permission to build the wall. So I then went out and got the stonemasons, Jimmy Maderos Jr. and Johnny Labrador from State Parks, which are the two masons that I've used before in the parks. I'm really looking forward to working with Jimmy Jr. And so anyway, we went out and I had them look at the embankment to give me their mana'o. And they said that the stones there to use for covering Ivikupuna, they're not large enough, because you would actually need heavy machinery or equipment to move the stones that would be large enough that would not be moved by the high surf. They said that because of the area and everything would have to be done by hand, that the integrity of the wall would not be maintained more than a year or two. And that they agreed that they would probably have to come back on multiple instances to either repair or redo almost the entire wall. So with that being said, I talked with David Back, the landowner, and I explained the situation to him. And he asked me to come back to council to see if we could do excavation as option B and reinterment further Malka. And after talking with the masons and getting their mana'o, I really do think that that's something that we should proceed with. And so I wrote an addendum to the previous plan to address not building the wall and doing excavations that could be safely done, and then reinterring what we could safely remove from the embankment into the preservation area and create a reinterment location within that preservation area that we looked at as option B. And I just wanted to give your folks an update as to that, and then also get your mana'o. I also took Nale out there previously to look at the area and to get his mana'o. And during that time, we also discussed an option B versus an option A, if the wall slash ramp could not be built. And if it, you know, it can't maintain its integrity, I really think that going with the excavations and reinterment is something that we should consider and proceed with. What I can also say is that this initial in situ location of both sets of Ivikupuna are not in their they haven't been properly buried. They've been caught up in a landslide and they were covered. And honestly, they haven't had a proper burial. And I think by us excavating safely what we can and giving them a proper reinterment burial would be very beneficial for these two sets of Ivikupuna. And I really I have to say, you know, I've done this for many years and I'm always honored and privileged to be able to do this. And it's not easy, and there's times I get a little emotional about it because I really do care. And from me speaking to you folks, this is really how I feel, because honestly, I feel always if we can preserve in place, that's what we should do. But there are times when maybe we have to excavate and reinter, and I really do think this is one of those cases. And I'd just like to get your manaho.
I have a question.
Scott, and then Clifford, and then Uncle Norman.
Yeah, Trace, the last time we spoke, the excavation part was dangerous. So now you still only can, you only can take out so many, that, I mean, that safely, right? Yes. Are you guys still, you know, like the wall, how they have to, they say they have to go back, but if we excavate and re-enter someplace else, are you going to monitor that site in case more EVs show up and then and put them back in the same place?
Okay. Yes. Yeah.
That's all I wanted to know, because last time was too dangerous to do that. That's why we went to the wall.
Yes.
Yeah. But I didn't see the thing getting wiped out again, though.
Yeah. Right, that's correct. And I'm going to try to excavate about an arm's length in, because above there's very large irregular boulders that are unsafe because it's a landslide. And so honestly, I don't know how much more Ibikupuna is in the embankment, but I'm gonna try to excavate about 30 to 40 centimeters into the embankment safely without things collapsing on me, because I can't, there's so much above me. I can't excavate all that. There's over 13 feet of soil above Ibikupuna. And then what I'm thinking, what I presented is, once we excavate, which is only going to be maybe about this wide and this high, and I'll take out whatever Ibikupuna I can access safely, and then I'm going to pack it in with kapa, because I have a source now here in Waimea of a woman that is able to give me kapa for Ibikupuna. I'm going to pack it in with kapa and then take sand and mix it with concrete and color it from that soil from the excavation, and then plaster it over this little opening that we excavate. And then additionally, there's going to be at least two times a year of monitoring of the area to see of further erosion.
All right, sounds good.
Mahalo. Clifford, thank you, Scott. Clifford.
Tracy, I had a question so that I can understand this in total. So the practice, the cultural practice, anthropologically, that's being provided, is this a practice of the Hawaii or the Maui? Which of the Kanaka cultural protocol is being exercised? So that when you talk about putting the papa or the papa in there, that's obviously a cultural significant thing, but by whose culture is that? The reason why I say that is that in Hilo, when they found Ibi and there was no claim from any family here, the thinking was is that this Ibi came from Maui. They were Maui, not Hawaii. And so therein, the Maui people should come to take that. So my question is, for this Ibi that you're finding, do we know this to be, who are these people? And what cultural protocol is most significant for that? And then in the reality, how are we going to know what's real or not? But you as an anthropologist, archaeologist, I would think, that's your kuleana, so I'm kind of confused about how were these practices adjudicated on these findings?
So to give you a little bit of my experience with archaeology and anthropology here in Hawaii, Clifford. I've seen Ibikupuna buried by Hawaiians, our ancestors from here in Hawaii, in multiple various different ways. Some of them are buried in caves as whole bodies. Some of them are only buried in long bones and wrapped in kapa. Some of them are buried in the fetal position and placed in pukas in the ground. It's very different from island to island, and even from district to district, about how our kupuna buried each other, their loved ones. And so to give an exact example for all of Hawaii that almost cannot be done, because it's different as you go from place to place and district to district. Some places are kupuna buried in caves. Some places are kupuna buried in platforms. Some places are kupuna buried in mounds. Some places there's no rock, there's only sand, such as Wailuku and Kahului and west end of Molokai. So they're burying in the dunes, but it's different from place to place. It is very traditional, I can say, to wrap iwi kupuna in kapa. That is very Hawaiian. And that I have seen that in the past, and I have actually seen iwi in caves wrapped in kapa. Another thing that I have observed that is very traditional in Hawaiian manner is to bury iwi kupuna right in the house, right under them. And that's one to keep them safe, because we don't want somebody coming and taking their EV and making something out of them that shouldn't be made. And then also the thought of them keeping their ohana safe, their mana, their spirit is still with that ohana. So I really do think it's very traditional to bury in the hale. I really believe that these kupuna that we're dealing with are most likely from this house platform or related to the people from this house platform for the reinterment. And honestly, we do not have any dates for Waipio Valley. I believe I might have been one of the only people to excavate in all these years in Waipio on David Back's property, and I was unable to get any charcoal. So I don't have any dates, but I do know that throughout history that we can easily say Waipio Valley was habitated at least by 1300 to 1350. And we're getting those dates from dates that I have at Lapakahi. So if we have people that are living at Lapakahi by 1300, 1350, I can guarantee you people are living in Waipio Valley at that time or before. Now, whether to say these are Maori, it's very hard to say. But one thing I can say that's very interesting is my ex-wife did Keahi's DNA testing at Christmas for his Christmas present. And his DNA, his Polynesian, came back as being Maori, which is really interesting, because that shows our tie from our people here in Hawaii to the people of New Zealand and the Maoris. So that was awesome, you know, that to show that our DNA kind of matches theirs down there. But to answer that question, whether these iwi kupuna that we're specifically speaking about are Maori or Hawaiian, we cannot answer that question unless we would do DNA testing.
I appreciate your mana on that. Thank you so much for explaining all of that, because that's always been confusing to me. So given the complexity of your professional opinion as an archaeologist, anthropologist, so Nale, shouldn't this type of discussion be reduced to some type of either burial council policy that we agree to follow when doing the investigation of the site, so we're not limited to halamaimai, only thinking one universal standard approach or law that would cover everything, that we appreciate the diversification, the differences in by district to district, multiple, so that SHPTI doesn't just rule on, well, you guys said this and applying that one application to everyone. This is what I was kind of led to believe that the burial council is about, standardizing under the law what everyone would agree to. But now appreciating those fine differences that exist because of what you're sharing with us, Bada. This to me is super important. And to preserve this integrity for the generations that follow us, that we didn't just take one approach to everyone's differences, that we respect that, And that can only come from a professional, a huge trustee, to give us this kind of information. But what do we know? We don't know. And so now we have information that's factual. And this is my question even about this training. How factual is that? If this is just a judicial opinion coming from the law school, that's Western law. That's got nothing to do with Kanaka, nothing. So what we have now is we have a person disciplined in understanding our history by the evidence of what we find today, even able to look back hundreds of thousands of years to get an estimate about what this might be. That's a very rich understanding and a huge responsibility that we should bear, and we should use the law to reinforce our findings so that this type of approach, this diversification, be included in everything that we do, and it's not just a casual opinion for a very significant find. So again, brother, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Paula Clifford. Uncle Norman?
I just wanted to ask Tracy, could he explain what is the part of excavation? How is he going to excavate, using by hand? Or he's going to use mechanical equipment? And what is he going to do after he removes the bones? He said he was going to patch the hole where the EV was. But what about the rest of that wall? You know, are they going to do something to fix that wall, or are they just going to kind of like leave it and let nature take its course?
My answer to that, Uncle, is that first, excavations will be done by hand with the trowel. I'm not going to use any shovels or any picks. The soil there is so compacted, it's almost cemented. So it's going to be hard to get in to get Ivi Kupuna out. But I don't want to be picking, because I don't want things falling down on top of me. So it's going to be done very gently by hand. And I'm going to use my trowel to excavate everything out. Once I get Ivi Kupuna out, I'm going to have kapa, and I'll have a lahala basket that I'll place Ivi Kupuna in and cover with the basket. And prior to our excavations, I'm going to excavate the reinterment puka. And I anticipate only 1 to 2 days for excavations to take place. And I'm thinking like I could do maybe one set of Ivi Kupuna on a day. So once one Ivi Kupuna is out, I can then take him at the end of the day and place them in the reinterment puka and cover with a little bit of soil. And then the next day, excavate Ivi Kupuna number 2, put him in kapa in the lahala basket, and then place them also into the reinterment puka. And then the patching would be done right after we remove whatever we can remove from the excavation hole. We'll pack, put kapa in, and then mix with soil and concrete to cover that one opening, that one hole that I excavated in. But as far as the rest of the embankment, Uncle, it's really large. It's over. Let me see if I'm trying to look for a picture on my computer. It's so large, Uncle, that you wouldn't, even if they built a wall, it's not going to last. That corner gets hammered every winter by, I can't find a picture. It gets hammered every winter, and the way the wave action funnels in the bay, it goes right into that corner. So one thing I can say is that, you know, come 2 years, 3 years from now, I wouldn't pass that more Ivi Kupuna may come out if I can't get all of them out. And we'll have to do, you know, go back and collect and put them back in the same reinterment puka. The reinterment puka will be covered up with soil, but I'm not, and I'm going to place a large water-worn stone on top as a marker, but I'm going to leave it where as more Eevee comes out from these two sets, I can excavate or collect and then put it into the reinterment location. Now, take in mind that if things like, if Eevee Kupuna becomes exposed in the future, I'm always going to come to you folks for your mana'o and to let you know. And this is something that, you know, I'm glad that we're talking about it. And thank you for the questions, because more po'os are better than just one po'o.
Mahalo questions. Clifford?
Second question, Tracy, is when they build a retaining wall against the ocean, does that protect that immediate area, but then stress property outside of that, causing further deterioration and soil erosion?
Yes, that's correct. And that's why Sam said he's not allowing it for anyone. Like all those, he told me all the houses on North Shore are all eroding. He said they're all going to fall in the ocean, but he can't let them build a wall in front of their property, because just what you said is going to happen. But I'm honestly, for us at Burial Council, we're very lucky to have an administrator like Sam Lemo that will take consideration into our Hawaiian culture to give us this approval, but it's all off the record.
But given our current condition, the reality of our current condition, all of that's got to be factored in so that we clearly understand what it is that we're speaking to. So even more so, Tracy, we're very honored and privileged to have someone like you as the person who's finding out this information and these facts. That information could be blurred that will result in an application that's completely erroneous. So again, Model P about it for all that you're doing. And that just speaks to the responsibility that is upon all of us. So again, when it comes back to this education, we'd be educated, but at our convenience, or to accepting the responsibility. So I'm sure if you had your choice, you would take this case as a form of employment. It's got to be totally mind-blowing, super stressful. But the fact is we're here collectively trying to come up with the best predictable outcome. We need all the pertinent information so that we can make a clear and true and honest choice for our outcome. So this is where, Nale, if we can have something about the burial councils that we elect to follow this procedure in investigating any type of EV, we not be limited to just one approach, that we have the diversification of one, a professional anthropologist, archaeologist to render the opinion, and then the people from the council with all their experience to put this in so that we preserve the integrity of these EV we find today for the future generation, that they continue to do the same thing.
Malumi Clifford, and as always, I think we all agree that inadvertence is a, I don't even know what the hell that is, excuse the language. Hell, what inadvertent, we don't agree to inadvertence for sure. Secondly, I'm always glad at least the council has an opportunity to chime in terms of recommendations, but the third level that to me should also be public meetings from that area. So community has an opportunity to chime in as well in terms of what they want to do. So these are things that we need to be working on in terms of the overriding administrative rules and all that regulate burial councils. And everything Tracy said, I totally agree with. That's been on my learning all these years. Not all knowledge comes from one source. And that was one of the beautiful things sitting on this council in 1996, with people like Uncle Eli Nahulu, Papa Hawaii, and people like that, again, is being able to learn these different ways of burials and how impressive it was, how phenomenal it was, yeah? That our people were so akamai to make sure that it worked for the Eevee. You know, not so much us, but it worked for the Eevee. And that we would malama these things and how diverse we are, you know? That just shows the intelligence that we have. Notice I didn't say have, yeah? It's in our DNA, so it's there, yeah? It's there. We just need to wake it up. We just need to wake it up. So I totally agree with that. There's no doubt about that. But inadvertence already to me is, again, that should be just stricken from the English dictionary. You know, that's an insult. That's an insult. Okay, I know Uncle Desmond had his hand up and Uncle Wyola as well. So Uncle Desmond, Uncle Wyola, and then Scott after that. Uncle Desmond?
Yeah, I just wanted to share that I participated in a lot of what the Haoles call reburials of Eevee Kupuna, especially in South Pacific. One common thread, well, one disparity is in Hawaii, we developing our crown and ceded lands where a lot of our kupuna are located. One common thread in Polynesia, especially with the Marquesans, the Samoans, the Tahitians, even the Cook Islanders, is if you notice, if you travel South Pacific at their hale, they have a small little hale outside of their, in their yard, in their property, where they house the iwi kupuna. And one of the practices is they use the same lua, yeah? They'll take out the iwi kupuna that's in there, clean it, repackage it, you know, for lack of a Hawaiian term for repackaging, and they would place it back into the lua, and the person had passed, his body goes in there. And it allows time to for nature to remove the flesh. So every time when there's a passing of the family, those iwi kupunas are removed, they're cleaned, and they're recovered with kapa. And with in Tautira, they make baskets out of coconut leaves. And I'm sure some of you have traveled South Pacific, and you see they have their iwi is buried not only in the Cook Island, there's a Matai Apo, Doris Reed. In her property, it's something like if you've been to Hilo Library, the home is built around a very sacred area in the home. And that's where the burial takes place. Fast forward, in Puna, it's done during, certain times of the day or at the night. The really biggest one for me was the Honakahau at Ritz-Carlton, having all these kumua at Tipua, Pua Ben Dorp, Ankola, Kumu John Kaimikawa. It was a process. And what we learned was, burials of our Malama, Iwi Kupuna, it's Makavalu, there's numerous views to that. And one of the practices we followed that day was, it wasn't like we're gonna do it this Saturday. It was a process from leaders or kupuna in our community. And that process was to go to Molokai. We had to, we processed the kapa. There were a few of us that were blessed with being part of this. Every morning was pikai, hiuvai, dressed in traditional lole. There were 12 women assigned to this kulian of the kapa, which was then immersed into a lo'i to get that black color into the kapa. Something like over 800 iwi kupuna. So that process, if you're gonna talk about, like Kapono said, we're at the doorstep of really finding a way to, from this day forward, to respect our iwi kupuna. And if we have the authority to add this to the agenda of this training, I think it's important. Preservation of our customs and our traditions as far as our iwi kupuna is concerned, I think this is a very important topic to cover. That this sets precedents for further burials. So the respect of our iwi kupuna, ho'i kahale ho'i. It requires a pathway that can be held close to our keiki as they assume the roles of adulthood. But a big problem in Hawaii is because we face with development, and many of our sacred lands are being sold. So this is going to come up a lot. And instead of trying to follow any one direction of how we're going to be buried. At Honakahau, it was very, very adamant of our kupuna, of our kumu there, that we do this in a traditional manner, in ways of fortifying the process of reburials, if you want to call it. And it's too bad that hasn't been followed, because it's, for me, coming from these teachers, these schools, Nakumu, it was important that and now we had hope. I mean, when we formed the burial council back then, it was a process the state was not familiar with, and it's still not familiar with it. That's why they're really dragging the heels on this. I'm not really taking the lead as far as our Ivi Kupuna is concerned. A lot of it relies on us. And if we have a chance to present to whatever means, through SHPD or through legislation or whatever, I think something should be placed in stone. I mean, just what Tracy has been describing. I mean, that's really traditional, the kapa, the lauhala, that process. But it also requires a time and place. You know, it was done during our Tutu Mahina. It wasn't scheduled in a Haole sense per se. We're going to do them, you know, July 11th, so everybody show up. I think that doesn't come into play when we honor our Ivi Kupuna. It needs to be followed in a traditional sense, whether it's Maori or Tahitian or South Pacific. I mean, even in Kanakaville, in Northern Vancouver, they follow that same process, the same lua. They remove the Ivi, they clean it up, and they repackage it and replace it along with the person that just passed. And that's how they preserve their moku auhau, the whakapapa. So if you're talking about formulating a process, I think this is a great opportunity to put this on agenda for something to look at. And mahalo kia.
How long, Desmond, Uncle Waiola?
Yeah, Tracy, I have two questions. The first one is, when you say in Plan B, the reinterment will be Mauka, do you mean Mauka into the valley or Mauka up the trail?
Mauka into the valley, Uncle, and it's approximately, I believe, 40 meters, which is 120 feet inland, and it's not up on the valley edge, but more on the straight back on the valley floor is where the house terrace is.
Do you know whose property that is?
Yes, that's Mr. David Back. And I also did his AIS, and I also did his inventory survey for the whole property. And where this reinterment location will be, that area has already been set aside as an archaeological preserve, where no future development will ever occur. And that's all been approved and passed. And it's been also listed with the Bureau of Conveyances.
One other question. You know, originally we were told that the Ivi were observed by walking up the trail, by going in this 40 millimeters or however centimeters. Is it going to alter or redirect the trail?
No, the trail is set, and the trail is easily over 140 feet away from this location. Yeah. Where the interior, when we go in, where the terrace is, it's a lot of bushes and trees, and people don't go into that area. That's one of the reasons why I chose that location.
Okay. I got it now. Thank you.
And then I also wanted to comment on Uncle Desmond's, what his mana'o that he gave us. Thank you, Uncle, for all of that. I really appreciate it. And to tell you, I worked on a burial site in Wailuku. many years ago for a new housing development that was there. And one of the pukas that I excavated had over 14 individuals in it. And it went down almost, 8 feet. And you could see, well, the machine first hit it. And then I started excavating. And when I excavated, not even maybe about 3 feet down, maybe almost 4 feet, I pulled out almost 14 people from that puka. And you could see how they would go back and use the same puka to rebury once someone would pass away. And there was also evidence of charcoal from the torches, suggesting that they would come and do this at night, because in the sand and the soil around the Ivy was a lot of charcoal. And so that at that time I worked with Uncle Les and Uncle Charlie Maxwell, and we did the reinterment for that set of Ivy Kupuna, and that was a really good one. But we had people from elders all the way down to infants all in that one puka. So it does correlate.
Yeah, exactly.
Scott?
I mean, even at Honokahau,
we were afraid. Hold on this.
It was along Evan, Uncle Les said we should keep going. We wouldn't find more. If everything is on the top and we find stuff on the bottom, there's got to be stuff, you know. I mean, even not stuff, we call them by. Ivy Kupuna and the mound itself. And one was really unique about that, Kalakea. He took us to other sites that had Ivy Kupuna Alexander Baldwin owns, that's up for development. So maybe if a plan for reburials is brought into law, that it might scare off some developers. Same what we did with Ritz Carlton. We took so long. They had to give in, yeah? Because there was too much Ivy Kupuna for one over 3,000. And I think they was afraid of these chanting Hawaiians. But yeah, Mahalo, Jason.
Mahalo, Desmond. Scott?
And then Kalena. I want to ask Tracy, what safeguards do you have for the reinterment site? And is there accessibility? Because you still have cultural descendants that are going to attach to that site. So what you haven't mentioned any of that part. I want to know how you can do this.
So the archaeological preserve is set aside from the trail. It's a rather large area, I believe. I believe the archaeological preserve is almost 4 acres of the 7-acre property. And right now I don't have any plans to have a set buffer around the reinterment location, because one, it is kind of hidden away from public view. Like it's not in an area that people normally access when they're visiting that side of the valley. Most of them are either right on the beach or they're on the hiking trail going either up into the valley or over into the next valley. I do feel that if we were to make a fence or a buffer around this reinterment, all it would do would be to draw attention to it. So it would be best in my mana'o to leave it with no fencing, but we do know that it's already set in an archaeological preserve. And accessibility, Mr. David Back lives in Virginia, and his brother has a propane shop up in town. And they always said anybody is always welcome to come and visit the Ivy Kupuna, the reinterment location. David said that anybody can go anytime. he has no problems with any visitation. And if someone were to call him and ask him for permission to go, he would grant it, but it's all pretty much open space. And if anyone would ever want to go, you know, I'm willing to take them, and they would be able to almost access it themselves.
All right. Yeah, thanks. Thank you.
Kalena.
Aloha, Tracy. I wanted to thank you for all of the hard, detailed work that you have given so far and you will into the future, and appreciate all of your attention to the details and to the care that you put forth in this that you brought to us before. I just wanted to say I really appreciate that and your long answers and explanations, and that I personally, from hearing all that I've heard today, would advocate for the Plan B. It sounds very well thought out. What I was thinking about was somebody should be praying during the time that you're excavating, because that sounds dangerous to you and to the people that are participating in that. And just to make sure, you know, you can always let us know, hey, from this time to that time, I'm gonna be out there. So, hey, Kalena Pulikako, you know, I would be happy to pray for you to keep you safe and to move our Iwi Kupuna safely. That's just all I wanted to say was thank you so much for your good work.
You're welcome, and thank you for the comments. I really appreciate it. I really appreciate everyone's support and all of their mana'o, always, in anything that I do in the parks and in private lands or state lands or whatever it may be, and I'm very thankful. I do have Nicole Louie, and I spoke to her months ago, a year ago, and I asked her to be a part of this process. Whenever I deal with Iwi Kupuna, I appreciate her mana'o and her company and her support in Pule. And yes, I did invite her to come, and she's looking forward to coming down into the valley. But also, when a date is set to do this, I will let Kea know, and we'll also relay it to all of you.
Mahalo. Anything else, folks, with regards to this inadvertent right now? Tracy, my primary question is timeline. Do you have any timeline right now? What you're looking at?
Probably looking at if once everything goes through and we have your approval, and I'm looking at this maybe third week of June, fourth weekend of June, somewhere around there.
Okay, mahalo nui. As always, I truly appreciate you looking out for your resources and getting those individuals involved that are always involved with our Iwi Kupuna. However, and I love Nicole Louie very, very much, very dearly, but this is in Hamakua. No offense. This is in Hamakua, yeah? And we do have individuals from YPO that would like to get involved with this as well. Again, especially since I went on that visit with you months ago, which again, I very appreciate that. Also, I brought one of our daughters with us. Just so all of you know as well, again, that site, as Tracy said, gets pounded every winter. It's getting pounded right now. There's no doubt about that. Of course, I'm always for preservation in place. When Tracy did advocate for that wall initially, I was like, ooh, perfect. But in my mind, I'm saying, how the heck is that going to get done without any major equipment coming across the valley? Because I'll tell you right now, as far even the backs have had a hard time getting their development going down there, because the community's verbal opposition to having any type of vehicle crossing that streams, yeah, especially excavators and things like that, because it impacts our streams as well, yeah. I know one of the first things I did, for example, when I did join the Barrel Council, is start to talk to families to register their barrels in the valley. So that the barrels were registered, at least for myself and my family members, we walked out of valley at least twice a month to make sure that the barrels are still in place, that they're not being impacted. Our two daughters know exactly where these barrels are located for the major families that are there. Some of them are marked more modern, and some of them are not. So at least I want them to know where the barrels are. And as when I walk through them, I have them point, now whose family is this, and where are the barrels? So they can tell me where it's at, yeah? Okay. What I'm trying to show here is that our intricate connection to this place. We've been in YPO for 30 years. We have our 5 acres of lo'is that we're opening up again. And of course, we're blessed to be able to interact with a lot of elders in the early 1990s that were able to show us a lot of these burial sites and all too, and share with us, yeah? So there are individuals wanting to get involved. I do want Nicole there as well. Awesome, the more mana we can have there as well. But just to let you know that there will also be people from YPO and Hamakua would like to also engage in that reinterment as well. That's all. They like come from Kauai. Come. You know what I mean? More mana for all of us, yeah? I've been blessed to be involved in a couple of interments in YPO, and they're always done at night. In fact, they're done early in the morning, between 12 and 4 is when they were done. And just to know that we're constantly walking around. Where Tracy plans to reinter is a bottom line. If you're going to go in there, you're extremely Mahawai. That's all I got to say. If you're going to go in the area where he plans to where he wanted to reinter them, you are definitely of the Mahawai clan. There's no doubt about that. Yeah. But again, we do make a concerted effort. Not only myself, other members of the community do walk through the valley, go throw net. We're not just cruising. We're doing other activities as well to make ensure that the EV are protected. Yeah. That the EV are still taken care of. Trey's been saying it does get pounded on that side. It's getting pounded, let's say, right now. That stone wall was a nice effort. And again, I do appreciate Lemu, our brother Lemu, for off the record saying go for it. But of course, once he brought down the experts in stone wall building, like Madeira's and Labrador, and they said that we'd be redoing this wall over and over and over again, that doesn't seem feasible. And of course, the shoreline destruction as well. Yeah. I'm happy where he would like to reinter them. I too wouldn't bring too much notification to that place because that is kind of in one of the Kua'aina areas of Waipio. And unless you're walking past it, you wouldn't even know that's there. And I presume, I know a preliminary discussion we had as well was that that would also be a site where we could reinter other Ivi as they begin to show themselves, yeah? They begin to expose themselves to us. Okay, so I just wanted to, but again, I thank you, Tracy, for everything you do, man. Truly appreciate it. Just keep us in the loop so I can let the other YPO Ohana know as well. So we can see what level they'd like to get involved in also. And again, please thank Nicole for wanting to engage in this activity. This important cultural kuleana as well. It's always appreciated. Hermana and her EK is always greatly appreciated. Anybody else, again, with regards to this inadvertent? Again, thank you so much, Tracy, for all you do, bro. Big blessing. Mahalo nui.
Mahalo. I appreciate all of your mana'o and mahalo for all of your support.
Anytime. Mahalo yo'oi. Always. Thank you for what you do. Really appreciate it. Mahalo. Okay. Let's see here. Is it the schedule? So we have that inadvertent. Okay. I do have another inadvertent here that I'm going to bring up. This is actually comes from Pohakuloa. Yeah. The other day received their, just sharing this, what document is coming from. I'll also send you a copy so you'll have it and other members as well. This is coming from the third annual report for routine military training actions and related to activities at United States Army installations on the island of Hawaii, dated January 1st, 2020 through December 31st, 2020. And in section 4, they state here, on December 11th, 2019, an inadvertent discovery was reported in TA-21 during a natural resource management activity. This discovery was not reported in the 2019 annual report. The remains were determined to be Native Hawaiian Ivi Kupuna based on context. Cultural affiliates, as defined under the Native American Graves and Repatriation Act, NAGPRA, known to Kaohe Ahupua'a, from an inadvertent discovery in 2020, were notified in December 2019. Temporary protective measures were implemented in February 2021 in consultation with the cultural affiliates that responded. As referenced above, a pedestrian survey was conducted in August 2020 around the inadvertent discovery to confirm no additional Ivi Kupuna or related sites were nearby. No additional Ivi Kupuna were identified, nor were other historic properties identified within 100 meters of the inadvertent discovery. Final disposition of the Ivi Kupuna are pending. Public notice and a NAGPRA plan of action will be developed through consultation with the identified NAGPRA claimants. Have you ever heard of that one before? First time I'm hearing of this inadvertent. Or any other council members that were on the council in 2019. And the second question is, where are these EV? Who has these EV? Yeah, because it's quite obvious that they did not put it in the report in 2019. So I would like a follow-up if can on this one. We need a follow-up on this inadvertent. you know, Pwakalua. I know they're trying to put on a NAGPRA. I do appreciate that they did. I guess notify cultural affiliates from the Kaohe Ahupua. But of course, the Borough Council has never been informed yet about this, as far as I know. I looked at my old records, whatever I have, from that year, and I didn't see nothing with regards to this inadvertent.
Yeah, so, if you can send me that email, so I know what to reference, because I haven't heard about that either. But you know, being found up there, it's not under 6E jurisdiction, and so they don't have to notify us. But I think it would be respectful for our offices to work together if they would notify us about inadvertence, and especially the burial council. I think that would be really important to reach out to the burial council, because even under NAGPRA, they still need to reach out to, like an NHO and exactly. Stuff. Yeah.
Exactly. And when you look at the list of organizations that they definitely are working with, there's at least 30 or 40 of them here. Hawaii Island Training, PA Consulting Parties, which I know our social enterprise is one of those 40 or so organizations, including families.
I will follow up though. If you can send me that email, and just so I have a little bit more information and I know who to, I know what to reference.
Sure. And please, can that be disseminated to the rest of the borough council members as well, so they have that information? Yep. Yeah. Okay. Kalena?
Yeah, I just wanted to add that some of the land that PTA is leasing is from the state. Mm-hmm. You know, when I worked in the national park, which was fed, they still were required to reach out to SHPD and report when we had an inadvertent. And to OHA. So maybe check with OHA compliance and see if they were notified. Kana or Kai. Oh, that's really irritating. Made my heart start beating. What? What's going on?
Yeah. To me, as a leasee, it'd be in their best interest to be good neighbors, a good leasees, mm-hmm. and let all interested parties know what's going on, especially borough councils. Yes, Tracy Kalamai. Thank you, Kalena.
One thing I forgot to tell you folks is I just got approval by the chair Case to get a new trailer for our archaeology department here on the Big Island. And in the trailer, I'm going to have a separate room specifically dedicated to the storage of our artifacts from Lapakahi State Parks and for the storage of Iwikupuna. That we find that may be eroding from the parks that we may have to collect and house prior to determination for reinterment. With speaking with my boss, Martha Yent and Alan Carpenter, we at State Parks are willing to utilize this facility, this storage facility for other state lands, seeing how we're tied into the state. So if there is ever a need of Iwikupuna that is found on other state properties where they need to be housed prior to determination and reinterment, I'm willing to do that for the state for our island here on the Big Island. Just FYI.
Mahalo, Tracy, for that offer. Thank you very much. Sorry, Tracy, I'm going to put it on my teacher cap here. Since this is a trailer and mobile, is that something that could be taken to schools to educate people and students about archaeology, anthropology, and things like that?
Actually, it's going to be my office trailer, and it's going to be tied down to the ground, so it's not a movable trailer, but I am willing to open my office and our facilities for any school groups or any kind of education that wants to come by. And I think that would be really awesome to do. So
thank you
for that.
That's my education hat on right there as a teacher. So mahalo for that, because it's important that we can get these youth more involved. It'd be awesome. Yeah. Mahalo nui. Thank you, Tracy. Anything else, folks? So, I will send you that document so that you'll have it, yeah? Okay, so like I said, this is news to me when I was reading through this stuff.
Okay,
mahalo. Anything else, folks? Anybody? Anything else to bring up at this time? Because the only other thing we have on the agenda is announcements, and of course, the next Hawaii Island Borough Council meeting is scheduled for Thursday, June 17th, 2021, time 9:30 a.m., location to be determined. That's all that's left on the agenda. Anything else? And if not, do
I have anything else? I move to adjourn.
Second.
So motion been made by Uncle Desmond. I'm sorry. So motion has been made by Uncle Desmond and second by Glenna to continue this meeting for the next 3 hours. Man, just motion been made by Uncle Desmond and Uncle Glenna that we end our meeting for today, May 20th, 2021. Any discussion on the motion? All those in favor, please stipulate by saying aye, raising your hand. Aye. All those opposed, aole. Okay. Mahalo nui, everybody, and Uncle Desmond, if you don't mind, can you send us on our happy way before we head out, please? And everybody have a great month, and we'll see everybody next month. Mahalo nui. Thank you for being here.
Hey, kalamai for my tardiness this morning. I just got back from Maui. I think Mama's going to leave today, sometime today, for the doldrum. So, e puli kako, e pi ike ala, e hui pu me oe. E pa ka makani, ma kou. Kua. E alohi mehana ka la maluna o kou alo, ana ua malie, maluna o kou mau mala. Hiki kou kaua hui puia, no ke akua, ki ho o mau ia oi, I ka poho o kona lima. May the road rise up to meet you, may the wind always be at your back, may the sunshine warm upon your face. And the rains fall soft upon our canoe. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand, in the palm of his hands. And this blessings on our crew in Mama Hokulea. Amen.
Mahalo. Mahalo, everybody. Hui ho, Mama. Take care. Hui ho.
Hui ho. Leu Samoan restaurant. Ke ao.
Come say bye.
Okay. Hui ho, Hawaiian. Hui ho. Hui ho. Hui ho. Thanks for being here. Mahalo. Mahalo. Hui ho.
Aloha.
Aloha. Aloha. Hui ho. Pretty good. Pretty good. Pretty good. Okay. Okay. Hui, everybody. Take care. Take care. Aloha, everybody. Aloha.